राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे जय गिरिवर धारे जशोद नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जशोद नंदन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जय ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीर बन चारे जय कुंज बिहारी जामुन तीर बन चारे जय कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय राधा माधव जय Radha Madhav Jai, Radha Madhav. Jai Prabhupada Jai, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jai, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Joy, Prabhupada. Jaya Mishnapad, Hamham, Shri Vrajika, Jaja, Stitazazazu, Samachala, Abhai Chan, Adagan, Bhakti Vrata, Shami, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Iskan Samstabhaka, Jaja, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti, Vaishna, Vrindiki, Samaveda, Bhakta, Vrindiki, Iskan Acharya, Vrindiki, Grantaraj, Shramad, Bhagatam Ki, Choice is in it, I go with the man and the Uri Uri. What does it say on the board? 22? 1,500. Thank you. Kim? Huh? Oh, 24. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Shaitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivishakam Vitamscha Vanchakalpa Turubhyashta Krupa Sindhubha Eva Chapaditanam Pavanebo Vaishnavebo Namah. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Etad akyahi me brahman sunita sunitat maja cheshtitam sradhadanaya bhaktaya tvam paravaravitama Etat akyahi me brahman sunitat maja cheshtitam shradhadanaya bhaktaya tvam paravavitama Madhijis. Etat, all these, Akyahi, please describe, me, unto me, Brahman, O great Brahman, Sunita Atmaja, of the son of Sunita Vena, Cheshtitam, activities, Sraddha Dhanaya, faithful, Bhaktaya, unto your devotee, Tam, you, Para Avara, with past and future, Vitamaha, well conversant. Let's read texts 22 and 23, and then we'll continue with this verse, text 24. Translation. Translations and purports from text 22 onwards. Vidura also inquired, how is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with religious principles desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment and thus awarded him the greatest punishment, Brahma Sap? Purport by Srila Prabhupada, it is understood that the king is able to give punishment to everyone. But in this case, it appears that the great sages punished him. The king must have done something very serious. Otherwise, how could the great sages, who were supposed to be the greatest and most tolerant, still punish him in spite of their elevated religious consciousness? It appears also that the king was not independent of the Brahminical culture. Above the king was the control of the Brahmins, and if needed, the Brahmins would dethrone the king or kill him, not with any weapon, but with the mantra of a Brahma Shap, that is, curse of a Brahmin. The Brahmins were so powerful that simply by their cursing, one would immediately die. Text 23. It is the duty of all citizens in the state never to insult the king, even though he sometimes appears to have done something very sinful. Because of his prowess, the king is always more influential than all other ruling chiefs. Purport. According to Vedic civilization, the king is supposed to be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is called Narayan, indicating that Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appears in human society as the king. It is etiquette that neither a Brahmin nor a Kshatriya king is ever insulted by the citizens. Even though a king appears to be sinful, the citizens should not insult him. But in the case of Vena, it appears that he was cursed by the Nara Devatas. Therefore, it was concluded that his sinful activities were very grievous. And the verse which is written on the board, text 24, translation. Vidura requested Maitreya, my dear Brahman, you are well conversant with all subjects, both past and future, Therefore, I wish to hear from you all the activities of King Vena. I am your faithful devotee, so please explain this. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura accepted Maitreya as his spiritual master. A disciple always inquires from the spiritual master, and the spiritual master answers the question, provided the disciple is very gentle and devoted. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur said that by the mercy of the spiritual master, one is blessed with the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The spiritual master is not inclined to disclose all the secrets of transcendental science unless the disciple is very submissive and devoted. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the process of receiving knowledge from the spiritual master entails submission, inquiry, and service. Prabhupada ki. Mukham kardi vachamam pangam langai te girim jat kripa tamaham bande shri gurum dinatarinam. Omagyana timanandasha gyanam jamashalakaya chokshush onimilarangyana tasmai sri gurave namaha. How is it that the great sages who were completely conversant with the religious principles desired to curse King Vena, who himself carried the rod of punishment? So Prabhupada is explaining that the etiquette is that even if the king may not be up to standard, however, he shouldn't be insulted by the people in the kingdom, those who are dependent on him, his ministers, etc., and the people in general. This is the etiquette. In addition to that, Prabhupada comments in the purport that the great sages, who were supposed to be the greatest and most tolerant, still punished him in spite of their elevated religious consciousness. So we know Bhagavad Gita explains that Prabhupada says tolerant. Yeah, they're supposed to be the greatest and most tolerant. So this is the qualification of the Brahmins who are in Sattvagun, because the symptom of the Sattvagun is development of knowledge, and as a result of developing knowledge, a person develops qualities such as tolerance. Tolerance is based on knowledge because one understands the temporary nature of circumstances. And Krishna is explaining in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita that tantitikshashvabharata, you simply have to tolerate circumstances. Understanding what? Agama, apayana, anityas, that they come and go, they're temporary. And practically speaking, matra, sparshas, two. They're only the interaction of the senses with the objects of the senses. Matra, sparshas. Contact of the senses with the touch of the senses with their objects. Matra spashas two. That's all. Kunteya. Sita, ushna, sugha, dugha. Happiness, distress, cold, heat, etc. Therefore, Krishna is saying, don't try to adjust these things. Don't try to adjust them, because they'll come anyway. In spite of all your endeavor to make adjustments, because we have material senses, then the sita, ushna, happiness and distress, sukha dukkha, will come anyway. So therefore Krishna says, tans titikshashvabharata, just tolerate it, just learn to tolerate it. And the lady, he says, the next verse he says, sukha dukkha sukham dhiram, that one who's equipoised in happiness and distress, so amritadvaya kalpate, this is the test, or this is the, you could say, the crossroads, or the means by which you become eligible for liberation. Sukha dukkha sukham dhiram. So those who are equipoised in happiness and distress, amritadvaya kalpate, they become eligible for liberation. So this is what we're meant to progress toward, this level. And this will manifest automatically as one progresses, elevates through the modes of nature and comes to the mode of goodness. So generally, the Brahmins, they're not so interested, they're not so concerned with making adjustments to the material condition and circumstances that we're in. Even for a devotional approach, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Sukhe duke bulo nako harinam badane. What is it? Sukhe duke bulo nako badane harinam bolore. Don't, in happiness or distress, just chant the holy name. In other words, don't be busy trying to make adjustments to the happiness and distress. Just chant the holy name. So this is the usual approach. So therefore, the Brahmins, or those in the mode of, oh goodness, they're usually not so concerned with the government and what's going on. They're not so interested in it. And when Prabhupada said to Śrīla Bhakti Śrīla Saraswati Thakura, how can we preach Krishna consciousness when we're still being controlled by the foreign imperialists? How can this message be spread? And Śrīla Bhakti Śrīla Saraswati Thakura said, we're not so interested in who's in government. Opeka, we're neutral, it doesn't matter. If they're there or they're not, we don't really care. We're not so interested in it. And so this is, Prabhupada sometimes explains in a simple aphorism. He says, best use of a bad bargain. See, whoever's in the government, there'll be some problems. Savarambena hidoshan. What is that? Dunamedagni ibabrita savaramba hidoshena. That every activity is going to have some fault. Just like fire has smoke. So whoever is in the government, there'll be some problems and there'll be some dissatisfaction. But we make the best use of a bad bargain. It's a bad bargain because we're in the material world. So we won't be satisfied all the time with the way things are governing, how things are going on. But the best use of that is to practice Krishna consciousness and don't worry too much about it because it's temporary. Today one government, tomorrow another government. So don't worry too much about it. Just cultivate your relationship with Krishna and devotional service to Krishna. So, as Prabhupada said here, therefore this King Vaina, he must have done some very grievous misdemeanors. A little beyond the usual bad bargain that we get from the government. This is more extreme. So considering the seriousness of the situation, then in this case the Brahmins, they became involved. They became directly involved. Although they didn't take up weapons, but they made adjustments, practically made adjustments to the situation. So this is also acceptable for the Vaishnava. We're not averse to getting involved in the government. We'll do anything. Actually, detachment is not a principle for not a predominant principle for a Vaishnava. And non-violence, Prabhupada explains in Bhagavad Gita that non-violence is not a principle for a Vaishnava. But generally, because of being situated in Sattva-guna, he's detached and non-violent. But these are secondary principles. The main principle is anukulena Krishna anushinanam, whatever is favorable for Krishna. So in the case of Arjuna, even though he's posing arguments that, you know, we should be tolerant, we should be forgiving, Prabhupada explains, these are not principles. The main principle is to do what Krishna wants. And Arjuna understood that. And so he fought in the battle of Kurukshetra, not because it was his duty as a Kshatriya, but because Krishna wanted it. And that's why he explains, when Krishna asks, so now, how do you feel? Kachchira Gyana Samahan Pranastas Teta Nanjaya, are you still in illusion and bewilderment? And Arjuna explains that Karishe Vachanam Tava. I'm ready to do whatever you say. Karishe Vachanam Tava. I will do what you say. He doesn't say, I will do my duty. So a Vaishnava will do anything. He'll get involved in government. He'll take control. He'll make decisions. He'll adjust the situation if it's going to be conducive to the desire of the Lord and fulfilling the desire of the Lord. So we will hear more on this particular incident here is just mentioned. So we'll leave some further discussion on this, why the Brahmins got involved, for later speakers, because it will be elaborated on in further detail in the subsequent verses, the particular circumstances. But this is very interesting. In this verse, text 22, it mentions about the Brahma Sap, this cursing of a Brahman, Brahmana Sap. And we will take a little closer look at this particular topic of today's verses, the curse of a Brahman, because there are quite a few instances of Brahmana Sap, of curses of Brahmins in our literature, in the Puranas, particularly in the Bhagavatam. Shall we do a little brainstorm? Can you think of some examples? Anyone can. Yes, Jugo. Sringi, yes. Gidanagri. Nala Kuvera and Mani Griva. Ganagami Babu. Daksha and Lord Shiva. Other examples? Pariket Maharaj, that Sringi Pariket Maharaj is cursed. And the sages at Dwarka, they cursed the Yadus, that the whole dynasty would be destroyed. Gita Nagari. Lord Brahma cursed. And the sages, the four sages cursed the four Jaya and Vijaya. They cursed. Yes, Madhuji. Daksha cursing Narada. Yeah. Now, these are all very interesting, and they're elaborately, these Brahmana Sap instances are all very elaborately explored in the Bhagavatam. And oftentimes, there's very significant learning and information delivered through these Brahmana Sap circumstances. Let's take a look at some of these. Like, for example, oftentimes you can see the direct hand of the Lord there. Like, for example, it seemed unwarranted that the Sringi, the son of Samika Rishi, he cursed Pariket Maharaj, who was so exemplary and perfect as a king, and just, you know, he was a little exhausted, came into the ashram, and Samika Rishi was there in meditation, and Pariket Maharaj didn't the Samika Rishi didn't show respect to the king, so Pariket Maharaj garlanded him. It was kind of, Prabhupada explains, it was actually the influence of the Lord. So when Sringi garlanded him with a dead snake, when Sringi heard about this, he became angry. And then he cursed that this king, within 7 days, will be bitten by the snake bird, and will give up his life. So it's explained that this curse was orchestrated by the Lord directly in order to facilitate the appearance or the medium or the scene in which Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken. So therefore, Pariket Maharaj, he didn't reject that Brahmana Sap, even though he was also very close to the Lord and could have taken advantage of his intimacy with the Lord. He was directly saved by the Lord. He was an associate of the Lord. He could have taken advantage of that to neutralize that curse. However, he didn't, because this is Dharma, Manasram Dharma, and to show the principle, and also to show the respect of the Brahminical order. And therefore, that curse came upon him. And you'll see that even if you haven't read the 12th canto, you can just glance at the picture on the front, and you see that he's bitten by the snake bird and is consumed by the fire. And Srimad Bhagavatam. So he goes, takes advantage of it. Seeing this, Bhunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam. This is a reaction to all my previous sinful activities. I'm now getting free to that reaction. I'm taking advantage of this. So he accepted it wholeheartedly. So there's so much lesson there for us. And then, of course, another one, this, the Lord, Samba, the son of Krishna, they dressed him up like a pregnant lady, and he approached the sages in Dwarka, and they were making a joke. And they said, "Oh, great sages, Munis, please tell us, will this girl have a boy or a boy or a girl?" So the sages, they weren't very amused. And they were very angry, the sages, and they cursed that the fruit of this womb will be an iron ball which will destroy the whole Yadu dynasty. Heavy, heavy curse. The fruit of this womb will be the destruction of the whole Yadu dynasty. That's a Brahmana Sap. The words of a Brahman, very heavy. And so Ugrasena, the king of the Yadus, he heard this, he was very afraid. He got that ball, ground it up into so many little pieces, and then threw it into the ocean. Pravakshetra, ah, no chance that this ball is going to cause any harm for us. However, this is the power, Rabrahmana Sat, the words of a Brahman, very powerful. So, one little piece of that ball was unable to be ground up. That threw into the ocean, was eaten by a fish, was caught by a fisherman, opened up the fish, found this little piece of iron, fashioned it into a head of an arrow, and then placed it on the arrow. That arrow was the arrow that shot Lord Krishna in the foot, and thus was the scene in which the Lord departed. And all the other little filings of the iron ball, they came to the shore, and then they grew into reeds on the bank of the ocean at Prabhakshetra. And these reeds were like iron rods. And then all of the Yadavas, they were there for some religious function at Prabhakshetra. And they were intoxicated, and then they started insulting each other, fighting, and before long they took up weapons, and then they grabbed these reeds, and then they beat each other to death. The whole of the Yadu dynasty was annihilated. So it's explained, Prabhupada explains that actually the Lord arranged this in order to, before his departure, to remove the whole of the Yadu dynasty from the face of the planet. Because after his departure, because they were so powerful, being the family of the Lord, that they would become puffed up and undo everything that he had done, Vinashaya Duskritam, in his appearance of removing all of the burden of the unqualified Kshatriyas. So the whole thing would be undone because the Yadavas would stay there and be puffed up and cause all this trouble. So we can see the Lord utilizing these words of a Brahman. The whole thing's very transcendental. The words of a Brahman, very powerful. We can ask, well, why is it? Why is it that the words of a Brahman are so powerful? And there's different, we can look at it from different angles. I mean, Brahman means may mean different things. We have Vaishnava Brahman, we also have self-realized soul. So in Gita, Krishna is explaining from that point of view, one who yomam pashati sarvatra savam chamai pashati, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, tashaham na pranashami. I'm never lost to him. Sa chame na pranashati. He is never lost to me. So the relationship is so deep that the Lord actually personally acts or is personally interested in ensuring that the words of a Brahman remain fulfilled, remain intact. That's the relationship that he's having because of their intimate relationship they have with him. Mad anya tena janati, they do not know anything else but me. Naham tebyo managapi, and I do not know anything else but them. So certainly their desires I will personally act to fulfill. And that's a sadhu and a yogi. What to speak of a Vaishnava? So the Lord's very serious about this. Brahmanya, what is it? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, go Brahmanya Hitaya cha. One who is actually a Brahman. This is very attractive to the Lord, these Brahminical qualities. Sama, Dhamma, Tapa, Socham. These qualities attract the Lord. So one who's actually developed these qualities powerfully, then the Lord is attracted to that person. And he will serve that advanced soul. So when Bhishma, he made a vow, of course this is more Vaishnava, he's a Kshatriya, but he made a vow that because Duryodhan insulted him, you're not fighting very enthusiastically. Because these Pandavas, you know, they're your dear grandchildren, you're not really serious about this. You're not giving it your full commitment. So he said, you stand aside and let Karna become the general. So this is a great insult. Bhishma, the most qualified warrior on the battle, never standing aside from his responsibility, he either gives up his body or he fulfills his responsibility. That's a Kshatriya. So he's asking him, you retire, stand aside and let Karna become the general. So this is a very serious insult. So Bhishma said that tomorrow I will fight in such a way that I will personally kill these five Pandavas unless Krishna personally stops me. So this is a very heavy. The Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, this they were similarly powerful. Why is that? Where does this potency come from? What's the difference between that and those in the lower modes? Well, we could discuss that a whole analysis. But one aspect is that because both the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas are motivated more on the basis of principle. Principle, rather than personal interest. Vaishya, the motivation is profit. Profit. That's not necessarily a bad thing if it's done in the Vanashram Dharma, because someone has to grow the food. Someone has to produce. So that's okay. We have to look how to engage that. The Sutra is more interested in sense gratification. But the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas are more interested in principle. What is the principle here? The Brahminical principle, or truthfulness, honesty, cleanliness, austerity. These are all principles that motivate a Brahmin to act. And then righteousness, justice. These are principles that motivate a Kshatriya to act. So they're motivated, they're inspired on the basis of principle. So this is more elevated, and therefore there's more power. There's more. Their words are more. They're more. They're more weight, because of their higher consciousness. So Krishna, Bhishma made that vow. So Krishna, he broke his own vow. He will not take up a weapon. He broke his own vow in order to protect the vow of his devotee, Bhishma. He broke his own vow. So we can see the Lord, how much trouble the Lord will take to protect the words of a Brahmin, protect the words of a Vaishnava. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his pastimes, there was one Brahmin, and this Brahmin also, not a devotee, not an associate, intimate associate of the Lord. He was trying to enter into the kirtan in Shiva Sangam. Trying to enter into the kirtan, and the doors were closed. And he was a bit upset by that, because he thought that he was qualified. And so the next day, on the bank of the Ganga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there taking bath. This Brahmin was also there. So the Brahmin, he cursed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That I should have been allowed into that kirtan. You have greatly insulted me, therefore I curse you to be bereft of material happiness. So hearing this Brahmana sap, this curse of a Brahmin, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very happy. He said, this is the perfection of my life. He was very happy with that. This is very conducive for one who wants to return back to the spiritual world. Janmai Shraya Shuta Shribi Edamana Madapumam Naivahati Abhidatam Dvaitvam Akinchana Gochada. Kunti Devi explains that you're available to those, not Edamana Madapumam, those who are bewildered by their high birth, their wealth, Shruti, their educational qualifications, Sribi, their beauty, those who are proud of these things and think they have some assets because of these acquirements, material acquirements, Edamana Mada, they're maddened, they think these are pretty good. Actually, I'm pretty qualified because of my birth. I'm a Bideshi, I'm a Bengali, or my learning, I'm a PhD, or my beauty, I'm very handsome or very beautiful, or whatever. If we think we have something, then we cannot get Krishna. These things are obstacles. Tvam, Akinchana Gotra, Kunti Devi is praying that you're available to those who think they have nothing. Akinchana. You are available to those with nothing, who have nothing, that I have nothing. Namama, I have nothing, I have no asset. Jogita bicha kichu nahi pai. If I analyze myself, I find nothing of any value. Tama kuruna sara. The only thing I have is your mercy. This is the attitude. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this curse, you will be bereft of material happiness. Oh, what a blessing. That I won't be victimized by all of these obstacles, wealth, fame, position, influence, enjoyment. I won't have these things, because the Brahman has cursed me. I will not get these. And Prabhupada comments that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas in order to fulfill the words of this Brahman. There's another very interesting Brahmana sap that we'll finish on this morning. Very interesting one, this one. That, you know, Indradev, he had a lot of mystic power. So he could appear and disappear at will. So therefore he appeared and stole the horse with the sacrificial fire of Pitru Maharaj and then disappeared. They couldn't catch him. So he could do this. So also it explains that he would seduce women. He would appear and seduce them and then disappear. Now one time he did this and he raped the wife of Gautam Muni using his appearance-disappearance shakti. He appeared and raped her and disappeared. So, when Gautam Muni found out, he cursed Indra. He cursed him. He said, and to use Prabhupada's words in this, he said, "You are so fond of vagina, so I curse you to have vagina all over your body." Lord Indra was cursed by Gautam Muni in this way. So he was, Lord Indra was, of course, it's Gautam Muni is a very powerful sage, so the curse is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't reverse the curse of a Brahmin, especially a very powerful Brahmin. So he fell down at his feet begging forgiveness. "Please, how could I live? How could I tolerate this? This is too severe. How could I show my face in the assembly hall?" So then Gautam Muni said, "Okay, then we will make a slight adjustment and we'll turn all the vaginas into eyes. Into eyes. So in this way, Lord Indra's body is covered with eyes. That's why, in case you wonder, Lord Indra's body is covered with eyes. So, now the demigods, they would come regularly to take darshan of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here in Navadvip Dham. And they were all observing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's deliverance of Jagai and Madai. And one of those demigods who was observing was Yamaraj. So Yamaraj, he was there, he asked his assistant, clerk, Chitragupta, that how many sins, you know, what was the total account of all of the sins of Jagai and Madai? This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter Madhya Lila, chapter 17, entitled The Kirtan of Yamaraj. So Chitragupta replied that if you had 100,000 scribes writing for 1 month, they would not be able to complete the ledger. They'd not be able to get to the end of all of these sins of Jagai and Madai. 100,000? 100,000, you know how many that is? That's big. 1 lakh, 100,000 people. How many people did they have at the cricket the other night? I think only 20,000. And we could hear it from here. 100,000 people. That's a lot of people. So they're riding full time for 1 month, and they will not get to the end of all the sins of Jagai and Madai. And he said, and even if you had a 1 lakh of ears, 100,000 ears, and you were listening for the whole month, you still there would be more to hear. He explained to Yamaraj. And then he said, and then the servants, the scribes, they said to Chitragupta, "So, we're just immersing this in the ocean? This is it? It's just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come?" He said, "No, I'm giving them Prem Bhakti. Then all of this is just nullified?" Yes. So hearing this, Yamaraj, he fell down unconscious. He fell unconscious there in prema bhakti, achetana, right? This completely stumble on the chariot. And all the other demigods, they're floating by and they're seeing that Yamaraj's chariot stalled. And the drivers and the people on the chariot, they're looking kind of distressed. And so they all come over. "What's this? What's this?" So Chitragupta explains, he told Yamaraj about how he had narrated the mercy of Gauranga, and he'd done this Jagai and Madai, their sins, just like that, nullified, wiped out, destroyed, and what, just like that, delete. Do you really want to delete all the sins of Jagai and Madai? Yes, no. Yes. Deleted. The whole account. Just like that. Clean slate. So the demigods, they saw Yamaraj lying on the floor of the chariot. Okay. Completely overwhelmed. Prem Bhakti. So they started whispering in his ears. Whispering, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And whispering, started kirtan in his ears. Hare Krishna. Started this kirtan. So hearing the holy names, Yamaraj again came to consciousness. He immediately became overwhelmed in ecstasy and began dancing and singing this kirtan. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur, he's describing all the demigods, Lord Shiva, Narad, Brahma, how they're immersed in this kirtan. So he gets to Indra. And he says, Indradev, he's explaining that the tears of love of Godhead were flowing down from his unlimited eyes on his body, immersing all those present. And the premajal, the love of Godhead. And therefore, he explains that Brahmana Sat Hoi, curse of Gautam Rishi, that with these thousands of eyes, he was able to perceive the pastimes of Gauranga and shed tears of love of Godhead, experiencing the goal of praying.